Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey A. Shaler. He is the author of Addiction is a Choice, among other titles. He is currently working on his 6th and 7th books, both of which focus on why behavior can never be a disease. His website is shaler.net. Okay, we will take your calls during this hour at 800-313-9443. Alrighty. So, in other words, the state can determine, as you indicated in the John Hinckley situation, the state can determine whether or not a person is a danger to himself or herself, and can lock that person away into a facility and keep them indefinitely, which is pretty scary, because they could decide to lock anybody without evidence, without any support or scientific reasoning. They can lock anybody away.
That's exactly right, Deanna. And one thing I think that your audience needs to understand is that from a scientific point of view, we cannot determine whether a person is a danger to himself or others with an accuracy beyond that expected by chance. That is a very important thing. Social scientists have been trying to do that for some time, but they cannot do it. In other words, I don't care how dangerous that person looks, and certainly there are people who are dangerous, but we cannot determine that that person is going to harm self or others any more than just by guessing. That's a fact. That's not fiction. So when the Supreme Court has upheld the right of psychiatric facilities to hold a person against his will, they are going against science.
And the person's legitimate right to act differently or to choose different things, that does not mean just because somebody acts differently or maybe opposes the government or dissents against a law, that does not mean that they're a danger. That means that the government just wants to control everybody. Wouldn't you agree to that?
I do, Deanna. I agree. And this is where it gets really tricky, because the Supreme Court has upheld the constitutionality, which I hope will change, of the state depriving a person of liberty because it thinks that a person is a danger to self and others. That's a very scary practice, in my opinion.
Indeed. But,
and, you know, when we have these three legal criteria for competency to stand trial that I mentioned, in other words, a person must understand the charges brought against him, he must be able to assist counsel with his own defense, and he must understand the proceedings of the court. Even though he meets those criteria, he can still be held against his will in the name of not being competent to stand trial. It's an absolutely outrageous phenomenon. He can still be held in order to have a psychiatric examination, and in more cases than not, his defense attorney will say, I object, I do not want my client examined. Why? Because he knows that there's a greater chance that his client is going to be found guilty, in a word, to himself and others, than pronounced unknowable.
Wow.
It's a frightening phenomenon.
Yes.
And the newspapers have just joined in on this. The Washington Post and the New York Times especially are guilty of this. For example, years ago, someone was going by the White House and he fired an AK-47 at the White House, shot it up, and the first thing they asked was, is he mentally ill? He must be mentally ill. Why? Because he served time in a mental institution. Well, just because you serve time in a mental institution does not mean that you're mentally ill.
Right.
Aren't you mentally ill? But now today, many people mistakenly believe that if you serve time in a mental institution, you must have been mentally ill. In fact, that's not the case. People have been assigned to a mental institution when, in fact, they did not meet the criteria for mental illness, which brings us back to where we started, and that is, how do you determine whether somebody's mentally ill or not?
Right.
One of the most famous experiments was done by a guy named David Rosenkranz at Stanford University, where he had graduate students being mentally ill. And they went to a psychiatric facility and claimed that they were hearing a sound called thud. Now, this was their attempt to pretend that they were having a hallucination. On that basis, and on that basis alone, they were diagnosed as mentally ill and committed to the mental hospital. None of them were mentally ill, whatever that means. They were faking it. But the psychiatric personnel could not tell the difference between somebody who was faking mental illness and somebody who was really mentally ill.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
And didn't Dr. Saw say something about, the fact that they bring in these experts, these mental health experts, or 10 months or a year after a person has committed an act, and then they expect this doctor to be some sort of a magician and to figure out what kind of mood or what kind of situation he was experiencing before.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
That's you brought up a very, very important point, Deanna, and that is when Dr. Zoss testified in a case called the Comer case, C-O-M-E-R, and that case is outlined in my book called Zoss Under Fire, The Psychiatric Abolitionist Faces His Critics. What happened was he was asked by the judge to interview the defendant, and Zoss said, "I refuse." And the judge said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I cannot know what another person's state of mind is in the present, let alone 6 months prior to now when he or she allegedly committed the crime."
Right.
Well, I mean, these are simple facts that just shocked the court and others because he was absolutely right. Thomas Zoss was a genius, I say 100 years before his time. Absolutely right. How can you know? And I said this to my students. I paired them up in class and I said, "Could you describe what your partner's state of mind is?" And none of them could do it accurately. Of course not.
Right.
The most they could do is say, "Well, it appears that she's asleep or is laughing, maybe is humorous, but I can't tell what she's thinking about." Who can?
Of course not. Exactly.
I mean, these aren't mind readers. And this is the way psychiatrists lie to the public. And I believe that psychiatrists need to be held accountable for the fraud that they commit in court.
Exactly.
To me, this is a very big deal. And I have gone head-to-head with psychiatrists on this, and they've gotten very angry at me. And you know what usually happens is that they diagnose me as a way of disagreeing with me.
Oh, that's funny. We do have some callers lining up. Why don't
good,
we take...
Good, great.
Okay, let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome.
Okay. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thank you so much, Dr. Shaler and Deanna.
Well, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, Dr. Shaler, I certainly admire your knowledge of the law, but the attorneys won't always be able to use all the law because they're limited because of their bar association. So
right.
Here is a contra that has already been decided by the Supreme Court that you may know about already.
Yeah.
Under Federal Rule of Evidence number 702, mm-hmm. on the qualification of an expert witness, it will tell you under GE versus Merrill Dow Pharmaceutical right. and its progeny, Kumho, K-U-M-H-O, Tire Company versus yeah. Carmichael.
Right.
that psychiatry does not rise to the peer-reviewed, independent, or not dependent, level of evidence because it doesn't meet the three-prong test.
Right.
And therefore, it's mere pseudoscience, or as the court termed it, witch doctrine, because it's subjective and interpretive, not objective.
I agree with you. I would love it if you would go to my website and send me an email detailing that, because I would love to quote you on that. I mean, that is so important. And I want to give people like yourself a voice in these types of situations. Are you an attorney or no?
Oh, no, I'm not an attorney. I'm studying law, and I know the law, and I've read those cases.
Good.
And that's why I can tell you the law and the truth, as opposed to being restricted.
Right. I mean, the Constitution was not written for lawyers only, right?
It was
written for the common man.
That's correct. Absolutely. One other thing on your marijuana case, I recently heard a board of commissioner up in Reno, Nevada, citing how proud they were that their marijuana growing plants were going to be green and sustainable because they were going to use gray water, which has been stripped of the electrons, and very dangerous because it carries all sorts of other psychotropics and other chemicals, to mention cancer-causing agents and fluorides.
Right. Well, you've got your finger on some very important issues here, and I admire you for speaking out on it. I hope you will speak out, because that's the most important thing any of us can do, is just keep speaking out and draw attention to these issues. It's hard because people, as you know, will attack us for it, but it takes courage, and we have to just keep going. That's
all
there is.
The truth is a lonely hunter in the empire of lies. Thank you so very much, Dr. Shaler. I know you got lots to call to talk to you. Thank you, Deanna, for having a great guest.
Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, thank you. All righty, let's take Wes. Oh, Wes dropped. Okay. Okay, you're certainly invited to call into the program with your questions or comments, and that telephone number is 800-313-9443. Alrighty. Yes, the things that are going on now with the government involving themselves so much into our lives is unbelievable. Okay, let's take Werner, who has suffered the same kinds of experiences that you're talking about. So, Werner in New Brunswick, welcome.
Please do.
Good evening or good afternoon, Diana.
Yeah.
Dr. Shaler.
Thank you.
I think those issues, they are not being brought up enough, and especially not in the mainstream media, but I think the Public Broadcasting Network is at the front line of the attack onto those fraudulent professions that are basically victimizing more and more people now. And since we are talking today about the psychiatrist, I just want to say from the point of here in New Brunswick, it's a Eastern Canadian province, and the psychiatrists I encountered, nearly every one of them came from a third world or from a poor country. And basically they have their attitude. What I sense there, yes, master. They do everything what their masters tell them, because they don't want to be sent back packing to the countries, to the poor countries where they came from.
Exactly. You know, you raise a great point, because in my classes, whenever I had a student who was from a formerly communist country, I always allowed him to speak his mind, and Americans who trusted the government too much were just lectured to and shot down by this guy. He used to say, each student who had come from a formerly communist country had said, "You Americans are so naive. You have no idea what government can do in the name of protecting you from yourself. It can do the exact opposite, and you need to first be suspicious, not trusting." It sounds like that's what you're saying in some way.
Yeah, but as I say, not just only from the communist countries, and we know that in the mid-70s, It was reported about the communist dictatorship, especially in Soviet Union. They showed their new image, their new humane face, in that they claimed people that didn't agree with their benevolent government, there must be something, they must have some psychiatric problems. So they drugged them right out of their mind until their spirit was broken. And this is exactly going on here in North America, but people don't want to wake up.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, and I'm so happy you're saying that. It's absolutely true. In a class I taught at Johns Hopkins University years ago, I had a visiting physician from Communist China who took a course that I was teaching called Abnormal Psychology, and she spoke out in a way that I was so moved. She told me about how the majority of her family had committed suicide because it was the only thing that they had left to experience autonomy and independence.
Wow.
I mean, that was really something to me. I mean, it moved me to tears. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And that's what can happen, you know, because if you disagree with the state ideology, then you're mentally ill.
Yeah, and especially here in Canada, I looked at the history of Canada. Canadians have been ever its founding. They have been colonial subjects under the British crown. And living as a colonial subject is the next worst thing than to live underneath a dictatorship.
Absolutely.
Know? And as I say, here in Eastern Canada, it's not so much people from former communist countries. Sure, I encountered one psychiatrist from a former communist country from Lithuania. But most of the others, they were from India.
Right.
They were from Pakistan. And they were from Bangladesh. And from Nigeria.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And this is what
I'm so glad. I am so glad that you're speaking right now, sir. I really am. It's just amazing.
I'm just
well, years ago, Thomas Zoss and I spoke at a conference sponsored by First Nations people in Edmonton, Alberta. And what I learned at that conference was how much damage was done in the name of what was called residential schooling, where Jesuit priests were stripping First Nations people, which, as you know, refer to Native Americans, of every bit of cultural identity that they had left. Anything that their identity was connected with their Native Americanism was considered a form of mental illness, and they were literally beaten and coerced into giving up every bit of their identity. It was terrible. And that's where government has too much power. Yeah.
Not just only beaten, but right. I understand about 50,000 Native children, they never made it home.
Exactly.
And as I say, we have to speak out and don't take things laying down. And in regard to the lawyers and judges, they both groups swear an oath to the bar.
Right.
Of a feather will stick together.
Exactly.
And there are very few exceptions.
Right. Well, I admire what you're saying very much, sir. Thank you so much.
That's
what it takes.
That's plain common sense, you know?
Yes, it is. You're exactly right. It is common sense.
A kind of tongue-in-cheek, I saw the suggestion. Instead of voting for any of the established parties, maybe somebody should start up a new party, and that is a CSP, a common sense party.
Right. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
That would be. All righty.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, sir.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Werner. We always appreciate your phone calls. I believe we're coming on to a 3-minute break here.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will take Sherry from Kansas.
Okay.
Be right
back.
You
have great list. You have a great audience, Deanna.
Yes, we have a lot of very nice people, a lot of nice listeners.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. you'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called MicroPlant Powder Gold. MicroPlant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make MicroPlant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey A. Shaler. His website is shaler.net. And we have Sherry from Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna, Dr. Shaler.
Hi, Sherry.
What you were talking about, how they can declare someone mentally ill, reminded me how this scam that members of the legal profession are running against people that have big estates, and they, Deanna, you've had Marty Oakley or someone
right.
Talking about this. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But I was wondering if, were you familiar with this scam where they declare, usually it's an older person, but not always, declare them incompetent to handle their own affairs, and they someone puts them under conservatorship, and then they rob them, basically, and then when they run out of money, they make sure they, you know, die.
Right.
I think
that's
that happens in the nursing homes, too.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dia. Go ahead.
I think that also happens in the nursing homes if they run out of insurance, if they have private insurance, or if somehow the Medicare stops paying for their care or Medicaid or whatever, then they just kind of boot them out. I think
right.
that when you look at some factors like that, like money, and of course the whole system seems to be driven by money.
Right. Exactly. It's not, Sherry, it's not an area that I've studied a lot in, but I do know that the drugs are used to control people, and that's something I focused on a great deal. And the other thing is that the criteria for declaring somebody incompetent to manage his or her own affairs is often disregarded. In other words, a person could meet the three criteria. He knows what's going on. He knows charges. He knows what his affairs are about. But still, with the power that psychiatry is given, those competency marks are circumvented. And that's because the state, especially through the courts, gives too much power to the judges and to the courts. And in my opinion, Dr. Zoss and I used to argue what was the best way to stop this process from happening. He used to say, we have to keep the psychiatrists out of the courtroom. And I used to say, we have to get rid of what is called a mask of the law, or the idea that psychiatry is telling the truth. These things have to be exposed. He thought that that psychiatrists never belonged in the court, which I agreed with. But some of the writings of a guy named Lon Fuller, who was a very famous legal professor, elaborated on these masks of the law and what are called legal fiction. In other words, one of the greatest legal fictions in the United States prior to the Civil War was the idea that a Negro slave could be three-fifths of a person. And that was written into the first Constitution. Obviously, a person can't be three-fifths of a person, but they were said to be three-fifths of a person in order to keep the South from having too many votes in Congress, and also, in my opinion, to uphold the institution of slavery. That was something that was shot down through the Emancipation Proclamation, but it's something that Congress and the government upheld for too long a time. The legal fiction was that something that was false was asserted as true, and the government would not allow it to be disproven. Today, the legal fiction is the idea that a person is mentally ill. In other words, how could the mind be sick when it's not a physical thing? Only the brain could be sick. But if you try to address that issue, the court and the judge in particular will say, we don't want to hear from you, Dr. Shaler. Do you believe in mental illness or not? And if I say, well, what do you mean by mental illness? He'll say, just answer the question, yes or no. I said, no, I don't understand what you mean. You mean, can the mind be sick the way the brain can be sick? Absolutely not. But that gets shot down, and that's part of what's called legal fiction. In other words, you can't, before the Civil War, contest the idea that a black person could be three-fifths of a person. Obviously, a person is either a whole person or is dead. Okay. But that serves certain purposes, strategies.
Political agendas. Okay, we're going for a three-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
All righty, welcome back. And our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey Shaler, and his website is shaler.net. And thanks, Sherry, for calling in. And next we have Fred from Iowa. Fred, welcome.
Hi, Fred.
Yeah, Dr. Shaler, you're one of the most outstanding guests that RBN and this program has had on a long time. I could go on with that for about 15 minutes. I am a Protestant Christian, and I am a strong advocate of legalization of drugs, my reason being that it would save thousands of lives and billions of dollars. My reasoning is that the CIA and the FBI and the powers that be use all this money for black op operations that killed and other people. And why Christians are so dumbed down, and I don't imagine you want to go far with this, and I'll be done here, is because our churches have been infiltrated and corrupted by Jesuits. Well, anyhow, I'm done, and thank God for you. Unless you want to ask me a question, thank you.
Well, I want to make a statement, and that is that I appreciate your comments so much. And to me, you are a heroic individual for speaking out the way you are. I mean, you're absolutely right. There are so many lives that are destroyed through this idiotic war on people called the war on drugs. And you know, it really hit me about 10 or 15 years ago when I was talking with a black woman, a mother of a young man who was about, at that time, 30 years old. And I asked her, where was her son now? And she said, he's been in prison for about 10 years because he sold an ounce of marijuana. And the sadness on her face hit me so deeply. It brought tears to my eyes. I'd always been against legalization, but it was the emotional message that she gave me that hit me harder than anything I had ever seen. Here's a young man whose life was being destroyed by the government in the name of saving his life. It's just horrendous. And government has probably done more damage to people in a free society than any other force. I mean, government has done more. But thank you so much for speaking out the way you are, sir. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing it. This is a great show, Deanna. I mean, you have such great audience members, and you're addressing such important topics. I just want to mention the other thing, and that is that if people would go to the cchr.org website and look at the work they've done in terms of the effects of psychiatric drugs. And then I built another website called SZAS.com, SZAS.com, in honor of my mentor and close friend, Thomas Szasz, and has all of his writings on there. I keep maintaining it even though he's gone now. But I get letters from people all over the world thanking me for putting that stuff out there, because many people in formerly communist countries have never had access to the writings that we've put up there. And
indeed,
I've done this all as a public service. No
indeed
money is made at all. But thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate what you've said.
And also, the churches have been incorporated, and so they really are not at liberty to talk about the things that they ought to be talking about.
Right.
And rather they talk about things that they are allowed to talk about according to the, the incorporation, their incorporation. And,
right,
the decriminalization. And I mean, there's decriminalization of the drugs or legalization of the drugs.
Right.
But for somebody to be put in prison for that long for a nonviolent crime,
right,
I mean, there are people who have murdered people who serve less time than 10 years.
You're exactly right, Deanna. And then you have presidents like Clinton and Supreme Court justices who have admitted that they've smoked marijuana, but somehow they're above the law. I mean, this stuff is just outrageous.
Not only that, I mean, they've not only just smoked marijuana, but they've had people knocked off. They've invaded other countries without any
right
logistic reason.
Exactly.
My gosh! I mean, it's amazing. They can do it because of the fear that they put in the rest of us, because we're all distracted. People are watching Dancing with the Stars, and they're watching sports games and all this other nonsense. There's not enough people paying attention to what is really important, because they're distracted. Perhaps they're overworked. Perhaps maybe they just don't know what's going on. They're living in a land of illusion. Or maybe there's
exactly
just so many people on drugs. I mean, I think there's probably 78 million people on psychiatric drugs in this country, according to the reports put out in 2014.
Right. I mean, is it any wonder that people are using drugs? Look at the drug culture that we live in. People
exactly
are pushed to take drugs, whether they're over-the-counter drugs like Aleve and aspirin and Tylenol and Pepcid AC and all these drugs, or they're prescription drugs, or they're illegal drugs. But everybody is on some type of drug. And then we say and have the nerve to say that kids shouldn't use drugs that they want to use to change the way they perceive themselves in the world, but they should use drugs like Ritalin and Adderall and all these other amphetamines to change the way they perceive themselves in the world. I mean, these are what we used to call double messages, which was offered as an explanation for why people went crazy. Gregory Bateson, who was once married to Margaret Mead, talked all about what was called the double bind theory of schizophrenia. In other words, by giving kids completely confusing messages, we were driving them crazy. And that's exactly what they're doing. Don't smoke marijuana. Don't change the way you feel. Don't change the way you see yourself in the world. Take Adderall and Ritalin to change the way you perceive yourself in the world. And kids say, I don't want to take that drug. But they say, you better take the drug or we're going to take you away from your parents. And that's exactly what's happened. There was a case in Albany, New York. I was cited in this case because parents refused to put their kids on Ritalin and Adderall when the school system there said that they had to do so. It was brought before a judge, and the judge said, if you don't put your kids on, this one son, on Adderall and Ritalin, I will take your child away from you and assign him to a foster home. I mean, can you believe that? That was in a New York legal journal that came out of Albany. Anybody can search that. It's just amazing. You know, the government is one of the biggest pushers of drugs.
Right. Oh, well, they invest.
The pharmaceutical companies have so much power. Forget about the tobacco companies. The pharmaceutical companies are the ones that have the most power today. Everybody is on drugs.
Exactly.
And if you're not on drugs, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. And of course, standards have been changed. For instance, the cholesterol standards have been decreased so that if your cholesterol is average or actually normal, they've changed it so that, you know, if your numbers are a certain, if you have a certain number, then they say, oh, it's high, you better go on a cholesterol lowering drug. And there's also the off-label drugging, where they can use a drug that has not been approved for a particular thing or a particular age. They can prescribe it off-label, so that doctors are free to prescribe just about anything that they want. And if they are operating under the standard of care, they cannot be sued if they follow the standard of care, because just like the DSM, if somebody goes into court and says, well, you know, this person committed this crime because he was under this certain drug, they can use the DSM to say, well, that was prescribed for this particular problem. He was taking it appropriately. Therefore, the doctor didn't do anything wrong. The doctor is not liable. And just if he didn't read the black box label, that's the patient's fault. So, I mean, there's so many things that you can look at.
Loopholes,
and right. And the advertisement of drugs since 1997 on television.
Right.
So everybody's taking something.
Right, exactly. You know, there's a lot of harm that can come from taking Tylenol and Aleve every day, and that's what many people do. Of course they have aches and pains. Most of us have aches and pains, especially as we grow older. But taking Tylenol and Aleve and similar drugs is not that great for your liver.
Exactly.
But nobody hears about things like that, you know? A lot of kids, I used to say to my college students, I would say, because of course college students drink all the time, and I used to say, don't take Tylenol when you go to bed at night, because to avoid a hangover, because there's clear evidence that for some people it causes serious and irreparable liver damage.
Right.
And they were shocked. Why hadn't they heard about this before? Well, I'm sure that the pharmaceutical companies have a big investment in making sure that people don't hear that kind of information.
Sure.
It's scary. It's scary.
And most of the reason that people have a hangover the next morning is because alcohol really dehydrates a person.
Right.
And if you have a headache, the best thing that you can do is drink a bunch of water. And that is, it's not going to affect your liver. You're not going to end up needing a liver transplant.
Right.
Or something of that nature. So, yes.
Right. Absolutely right, Deanna.
Wow.
Okay. Anybody else online or no?
No.
Okay.
So, let's
well,
see.
You lead the way, Deanna. You've got a great show here. I'm so happy to be on it. I think you're doing such a wonderful job bringing this stuff to you know, the ears of the audience, and these are the things that we need to talk about. I'm sure there are plenty of psychiatrists and public health people that are just ready to kill me, but the thing that's most dangerous to them is free speech, and that's what's most sacred in a free society, is being able to say what we believe and to speak truth to power.
Right.
And
Go ahead. About the drug industry, that children see their parents taking all of these drugs. The parents are really fooled by the school staff who think that they're deputy diagnosticians, and they take these drugs, which are really more dangerous. They are a Schedule II drug. These are more dangerous than the drugs that they would get off of the stranger at the corner.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, that's one of the benefits of allowing currently illegal drugs on the free market, because we then have quality control, and if somebody sells drugs that are fraudulent, in other words, they contain strychnine and not what the seller says they contain, then we have recourse to take the person to court and sue them for fraud. Right now, you can't do that when it's illegal. How can you sue an illegal drug dealer for fraudulent products? Can't do it. But
right.
If you allow it to be on the free market, yes, you can. And again, we always have to think. I have a bumper sticker on the back window of my car, and it says, "Cui bono? Who benefits?" Which was something
Indeed.
Tom Zoss always used to say to me. Think about who benefits. Who really benefits from drug prohibition? The illegal drug dealers benefit, and the drug enforcement agents benefit. Those are the people, the drug enforcement agents benefit because they have good paying jobs. Yes, it's dangerous. I understand that it's dangerous. And many of them are willing to take that risk. Illegal drug dealers, I would not be surprised at all if they were some of the big contributors to the drug prohibition movement. Why? Because when drugs are illegal, illegal drug dealers benefit from the prohibition market. The price goes up. The Economist, the magazine The Economist, years ago said, if you really want to hurt the illegal drug dealers, put it on the free market, because the price will drop, there will be quality control, and the illegal drug dealers will be in deep trouble. It will take the wind out of the sails of the illegal drug dealers. But the government doesn't want to do that. Now, why is that? Because they stand to benefit. Cui bono?
Sure.
Who benefits? They
sure.
benefit. They're in bed with the illegal drug dealers. It's not the legalizers. They don't stand to benefit. I've been speaking out for an end to prohibition for 20, 30 years. I don't get anything out of it except my life threatened. Illegal drug dealers would certainly want me to shut up. And
sure.
academics in the university have tried to kick me out for years because... Why? Because I try to encourage my students to think about this stuff critically. I don't tell them what they should think. I tell them how to think. And they recognize this, but the administrators, they get money from government. Government says, if you hire somebody like Shaler who's teaching what he's teaching, we're going to give you trouble. I mean, these are realities. They're not just paranoid fantasies. They need to be investigated. And,
right.
I'm very concerned about what's going on in academia today, and I think many other people should, too. It's terrible. There's no such thing as academic freedom. There is no such thing as academic freedom. If you say the wrong thing,
you're
out. You lose your job. You're out.
All righty. We are going to a break. We'll be back in three minutes.
Thanks, Deanna.
Nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential,
and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water.
Nutritional value of the hemp plant. HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey A. Shaler. He is the author of Addiction is a Choice. His website is shaler.net, and please also visit SZASZ.com. That's SZASZ.com. A couple of questions here.
Sure.
You indicated earlier that 87% of the people that came back from Vietnam, they easily gave up their addiction to heroin. Now,
right.
when a patient is prescribed psych drugs, those psych drugs often create an addiction that is it's almost impossible to get off of them. I had a friend who was on Prozac for a number of years. And it was just impossible for her to get off. She She suffered a great deal and ended up going on another drug. So aren't those drugs, prescriptive drugs, more addictive than, say, heroin or marijuana?
I think that's a very good point, Deanna. And here's the way I address it. When a person, what I say in my book is the following scenario. Let's imagine a woman is very depressed because she's unhappy in her marriage. She needs to get a job. She needs to go back to school. She needs to do any number of things. For example, leave her husband or at least change their marriage somehow. She goes to her gynecologist or a regular physician for a checkup, and the physician notices that she's depressed. And the physician says, why don't you try a course of Prozac? Let's see how you feel. So not everybody who gets Prozac feels better. That's important to remember, because most of the, quote, positive effects, in the sense that the person feels better, are placebo-induced. But let's assume that the drug increases the serotonin level and she feels better. Now, you know what happens? What happens is that she loses the motivation to change her behavior. She loses the motivation to make the changes necessary in her life to feel better. If you look back on your life, and let me direct this to all of your listeners, every time you have made a change in your life, a change that has resulted in a much better experience in your life, it has been based on an experience of discomfort. I'm not saying that we should look for experiences of discomfort or create them in order to make ourselves feel better. I'm just saying that when we feel better in our lives, we've often made a decision to do something different. Take a job, go back to school, leave our husband, go for counseling, whatever it is. Now, my concern, and this is what the essence of the quote, addiction that I think you're referring to is all about. When the person takes Prozac and does feel better, or Zoloft or whatever it is, Paxil, any of these are all what are called serotonin reuptake inhibitors, select serotonin reuptake inhibitors. What happens is that the person feels better in a bad situation. And the motivation to make a change disappears. That scares me. Because when I say to the woman or the man, have you gone back to school? Did you go into counseling with your husband or wife? Did you do X, Y, and Z that you recognized was necessary for you to feel better? They say, no, I didn't. But the bottom line is, I feel better.
Wow. All righty. Well, these 3 hours have gone by very rapidly. So thank you so much for being on the program. And I so appreciate your work. And thank you so much. All righty. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you soon. Take care.